Thank you again. John Lennon lives. All right. Part of the sport of political punditry seems to involve coming up with catchy names for certain supposed blocks of political voters. Just using the designations of gender or race or income level or education or other such markers as these, which admittedly do get the eyes glazing over pretty quickly, something catchier always seems to be needed to appeal to our ever-shortening attention spans. So we got soccer moms, and then it was NASCAR dads, neither of which applied to me in any way that I could see, but and then the soccer moms and the NASCAR dads seemed to beget all kinds of other categories, and I couldn't fit myself in any one of them either. Among the latest ones I heard, and I kid you not on this, is Sex and the City women. I ain't going nowhere with that one. Just leave it be. Then I think it was about an election or two back, another category got lobbed over the cultural transom called values voters. And the first time I heard that one, I thought, well, somebody's finally come up with a category for me. In every election in which I've cast a ballot ever since I was old enough to vote, I have registered my vote on the basis of certain values that I hold, whose values have changed over the course of my life, but I've always remained a values voter. Upon closer inspection, however, I came to see that I had been bypassed once again. The term values voter in the political lexicon of the day refers to those whose votes are primarily driven by what I would call the very narrow set of moral issues and in very morally narrow ways. Issues like opposition to abortion under almost any circumstances, as well as opposition to the teaching of evolution or to same-sex marriage or to stem cell research, that is to say, the usual array of boogeymen that the political and religious right like to point to with righteous alarm and crank up their outrage machine over whenever a supposed political base needs to be mobilized. Now, how well such a tactic is going to work this time around remains to be seen, especially since this alleged values voter base does not appear to be as firm and cohesive as it has in the past, and it has taken yet another punch in the stomach over just these past few days, which is another one I'm going to leave alone. We're going to find out all of this soon enough. I will acknowledge there's a kernel of truth. Actually, it's more than a kernel of truth contained in the term values voting. It's one I just suggested. Whenever we citizens go to the polls, we vote our values, every single last one of us. Just because the expression values voter has been hijacked by a certain segment of the political spectrum doesn't mean that segment has any exclusive claim to it. We are all values voters. The real question, the one I want to spend some time exploring with you on this Sunday before a national, state, and local election, is which values, whose values, what kinds of values will be driving the votes you'll cast in a couple of days. I'm assuming, good citizens, I trust all of you are, that you will be voting Tuesday. Well, often seems to be the case with me, I need a little bit of room to back up and make a run at something before I really get going into it. Sort of have to do this little soup and salad thing before the main course gets trotted out. So here's your salad for this morning. Preparing this sermon, I went on the web and I downloaded and I printed off 5 small print pages from a section called the IRS's Tax Guide for Churches and Religious Organizations. Deals with the kind of political activity that ministers and religious organizations may and may not engage in if they want to retain their tax-exempt status. Like I said, 5 small print pages. I read it through. I could not see where I or we have violated anything. I am precluded from endorsing a candidate from this pulpit according to this directive. I have no intention of doing so, even as I know that my political views and philosophy go within and beyond this congregation are not exactly classified information. I have every intention of playing by the rules, just as I always have. But here's what got my ire up as I read through this, and it wasn't any particular thing I was reading. It was another thought that was kind of hovering in the back of my mind. I thought, you know, while one agency of our government, the Internal Revenue Service, is issuing forth its prohibitions about what ministers can say and do when it comes to our engagement in the political arena, another agency within the current administration of this same government, an agency called the Office of Faith-Based Initiatives, has been awarding, ostensibly, good works grants over the past 5 years, the bulk of which are going to the very religious organizations that primarily cater to those so-called values voters. That is to say, some of the monies that the IRS gathers are being used to curry the current administration's favor with mostly rightward-leaning religious organizations, even as this same agency is telling me what I can and can't say from up here in this pulpit. Okay, I just had to get that out of my system. I feel so much better now, and we can just move along. I'm building my thoughts for this morning around a line in Bob Edgar's book, Middle Church, which I know I've already referred to several times this fall. Mr. Edgar, as I've also pointed out on other occasions, is an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church. He's the current executive secretary of the National Council of Churches. He served in the United States House of Representatives for 6 terms, representing a district in Pennsylvania. His book, Middle Church, is a call to mainline, mainstream persons of faith to not abandon the political arena to the far religious right. The line that jumped out at me as I read his book was one that says, "What is politics if not the highest expression of our moral feelings as a people?" Let me repeat that. What is politics if not the highest expression of our moral feelings as a people? After a political campaign that is leaving me in need of a good long shower, I appreciate Mr. Edgar's reminder, coming as it does from a prominent religious leader and a former 12-year member of the United States Congress, that politics is really supposed to be a call to and an expression of our better and higher selves instead of an exercise in catering to our baser selves, as it often seems to turn out to be. The basic premise of the democratic principle itself, coming as it did out of the 18th century Enlightenment, is that the rank and file citizens of a nation should be able to bring their needs, their concerns, their values, and their principles to bear on the workings and the policies of their country. It has taken us in this country nearly 200 years and counting to more fully extend that principle to all of our rank and file citizens. But we have come a good ways with it from where we were when our Constitution was drafted, at which time only white men who owned property could vote. So one of the primary purposes, then, of having a democracy is so people like you, me, can bring our values to bear in the public arena. So I'm going to spend the remainder of my time sharing with you some of the values that I'll be bringing with me when I vote on Tuesday. I do so as a way of encouraging you to examine and vote your values as well. To start close to home, I value my own personal well-being and the well-being of my family. I see nothing wrong at all with a vote that is driven, at least in part, by self-interest. For this, too, is part of the democratic principle that citizens have a voice in the decisions and policies that directly affect them, including the taxes they pay and the services and benefits that are available to them. It's still a few years out there yet, but as the date for the arrival of my first Social Security check and my Medicare eligibility get a little closer, I start to think on these things. So attending to one's personal well-being, then, I don't think is a value to be dismissed. But neither is it a value to be held up to the exclusion or the diminishment of a lot of other values. I carry an identity with me as I go to vote. An identity of a citizen of this country called the United States of America. I value that identity. And for whatever issues and concerns I have with some of the actions and the policies that are undertaken and enacted by the powers that be in this country, I can no more deny my identity with it than I can with my gender, my race, my religion, all those other many and varied components that go into the mix that is me, go into the mix that is you. And this is why. The ways in which the power, the might, and the wealth of my country are exercised in the larger world, that's a values issue. I value being a citizen of a country that is respected and commands a certain kind of moral authority in the larger global community. And that respect and that moral authority has been seriously eroded over the past 3.5 years because of a needless war in which we're engaged. I value. I rejoice in the hopes and the dreams and the promise of a life that is laid out before a young person coming into adulthood. A person like my 22-year-old, our 22-year-old son, for example. See him, and I see him, and I'm 22, and all that's in front of him, and I think about when I was 22 and how life was looking to me at that time. And this is why I'm so deeply grieved, so deeply angered, at the nearly 2,800 lives of hope and dreams and promises that have been forever lost due to this horribly fucking seed enterprise. I'm deeply grieved and angered as well by all the lives that have been lost or shattered in a war that never should have been. I value the security of this nation. I value being able to peaceably live as a citizen in a safe and protected and well-respected country. And I will support any and all policies and persons who might feel will truly promote these values. But I am of the opinion, just alluded to, that our respect and our moral standing as a nation, which I deeply value, have been severely diminished rather than enhanced over the past 3 years. I will vote in ways that I believe or that I at least hope will in some measure restore these values. Moving on, I said a few minutes ago that I value my own well-being as well as that of my family. I want to expand upon that for a bit now. Like I would imagine many of you, we in our household, Gettington household, we deal with our share of what are becoming to be called middle-class squeeze issues. You know about them, many of you do. Mortgage payments, tax bills, and insurance premiums, and college loans, say nothing of just some gas in the tank. You know, just get out of the list. And then you hope there's a little bit left over for a little bit of just enjoyment, pleasure. And I know it's challenging. I know it's frustrating trying to keep all those balls in the air, knowing that a few of them might drop once in a while. And yet I also know this. I know that when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to be, unless I'm traveling someplace that day, I'm going to be back to bed. I'm going to go back to bed that night in the same warm, comfortable place. I'll do so probably having eaten more than I should have, or more that's even good for me in the course of any given day, since my four food groups seem to be chips, dip, ice cream, and cookies. I know if I get sick or have a serious accident or get a toothache, I can turn to a physician or a healthcare facility or a dentist who will take care of me. I got all the proper cards in my wallet that will assure that. I mentioned my son a while ago. I know he's been well educated. Take comfort in that. Know that he will soon be moving into a career and a profession of his own. Paying his own bills. In other words, I don't have to get up in the morning with any kind of anxiety about these things. I got plenty enough to be anxious about when I wake up in the morning, but it's not about anything that involves my basic survival needs. I can move through my day with the right kind of props in place, and I value those props. And I value even more the fact that I don't have to think too much about it. I also know I'm a citizen of a nation. For a number of my fellow citizens do get up every day with these kinds of survival issues right in their face. Because they don't have the props. But I often too easily assume. And realizing, as I do, that there is no single panacea for all of our social ills and failings, whether it's in the private or the public sectors, I nonetheless value being a citizen of a country that uses its resources in as wise and best way it can to attend to these basic kinds of human needs, and finds the opportunity for any rightly motivated person to participate in the fullness and the blessings that a society such as ours can offer. And so my vote will be driven in part by choosing those whom I feel will best and most wisely use the bountiful resources of this nation and state and community to attend to the needs of all of its citizens, including those whom Jesus called the least of these. Along this line, I've yet to encounter anyone, myself included, who likes to pay taxes, much less wants them raised. But I also know that they are the price we pay for a civil and secure and compassionate society. So what it all comes down to is pretty simple, really. I value those things that make me proud to be a citizen of this country, and I seek ways of dealing with and mounting a challenge to those things that, as a citizen, disturb or anger me. I value, for example, being a part of a country where no stigma is attached or impediments presented to their full societal participation when it comes to a person's race, sexual orientation. I seek ways of confronting those stigmas and those impediments whenever and wherever they arise. I vote my values by supporting those persons who might be able to keep striving to remove such stigmas and impediments. I value the many positive attributes and achievements of our country over the course of its history and into the present day. And I equally value the opportunity speak to and attend to its still unfinished business, its still broken, its still unhealed places. I know that when I get into my voting booth on Tuesday, I'll see a list of names in front of me and party affiliations. I know there's not going to be one single name on there or any one single party that will fully satisfy or fully embody the values I bring to the ballot I cast, and I do not expect that. I will vote for those persons whose presence in office, I believe, will move us a little closer to those values, while also realizing that the work in the language of our UU principles, that work of justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, and advancing the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, heard our kids to give their version of that a little earlier today. I know that that kind of work, whoever gets elected, still remains in my hands and still remains in your hands and in the hands of our like-minded fellow citizens. I'll finish with this. Some of you know, I usually make one or two trips by plane back and forth across this country in the course of a year. Impatient person that I am, I don't enjoy sitting on a plane for any length of time. But I still, no matter how many times I make the trip, I still get a kick out of just watching this vast land roll along from sea to shining sea. I need to do this. However strange I come to feel at times, and how the wielders of power in our politically highest places enact and behave, I need to see a land that can still touch me and reach me somewhere beyond Some of those things that are done in its name are frustrating and alienating. I still need to resonate with those familiar, often some words of Woody Guthrie's. This land was made for you, me. And I do not expect anyone whom I might help elect to public office with my vote. However much I may like, admire, respect, and agree with that person, I don't expect them to provide me with the love of this land. I have to find that for myself. But I do expect of such persons, as I might hope elect, that they at least do their part, even if it's only a small part, in giving me a country I can value and take pride in. What is politics, if not the highest expression of our moral feelings as a people? I ask you to take these words of Mr. Eggers to heart on Tuesday, and in all the days thereafter. There'll be just as much work to do on the other side of this Tuesday as there is on this one. Examine your values closely, and even though you know that their full realization does not fully lie in the realm of electoral politics, you can still vote in accordance with them. It is because I like to look at the half-full portion of the glass that I chose our closing hymn for today with his words, "Our labor is our strength, our love will win at length, our minds will find the ways to live in peace and praise.